is my prayer for you. I pray that all things, that even above everything, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I pray that you might know Christ and that you might make him known. I pray that we recognize our need for God. I pray that, that even today that we receive something that is beyond our expectation, that he pours into us in a supernatural way, that we don't have to strive, but we can just abide in his grace. I pray that dry bones awaken in this last hour and hear the word of the Lord. I pray that we, the body of Christ, would rise up and shine in a dark world. God, I thank you for you're doing something so special. And we just say, your will be done. Speak to us today and through us today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. We say amen. Come on, give him one more praise. He's God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of the Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many of you all know that praise absolutely silences, you know, that whole spirit of heaviness? Some of you may have even been heavy when you came in today. When you begin to praise God, when you begin to give God glory, something about putting on that garment of praise, heaviness has to get out of our way. That they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Father, again, thank you for your presence. Speak to us today. We're hungry and empty. So fill us in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. When I look at this passage and I recognize that it is one of the several messianic passages, and we talked about this last week, messianic passage, it's a passage that has Christ in it before Christ came on the scene, but he would later come on the scene and fulfill the very thing that was spoken of. And this was 700 years before Christ came on the scene. And I definitely believe in prophecy. And this was prophetic. And Isaiah was quite the prophet to be able to see 700 years. You know, if we can see, you know, tomorrow, we would be happy, right? He saw 700 years in the future and predicted it accurately. And then Jesus comes 700 years on the scene later, and then he fulfills that prophecy and tells them in the synagogue that today this prophecy is fulfilled in your very hearing. And we talked about, you know, one of the things, the statements that we made last week, in review, is that when you hear the word Jesus, or the name Jesus and Christ after it, many of us think Christ is his last name. But Christ is not Jesus' last name, but Christ is actually, it says he is the Messiah, the deliverer, the anointed one. So it is Christ, the anointed one. And he has come to deliver us. And this passage goes along with that. And I love this passage. He came to set us free. He came to deliver us. If we were down, he came to lift us. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. And not just did he come, but he was anointed to do it. So let me give you my first point here, is that Jesus Christ was born on purpose for a purpose. And so are you. Say it with me. Jesus Christ was born on purpose for a purpose. And so were you. I just want you to reflect on that for a minute. If you look at that first passage in the book of Isaiah, and when I was in Africa, they call it Isaiah. And when we look at that particular passage, this particular passage is filled with promise and purpose. And when I look at it, I want you to recognize that it wasn't by accident or coincidence that he came on the scene, but no, God had a purpose. Look what the scripture says. It says Isaiah, this, and I pray that you have your Bibles or you have a phone, you can highlight it, or you can remember really well. Look what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Even in the beginning, it starts off saying, God's Spirit is upon him. And he's saying this, and today, let me just break this down. We all need God's Spirit to do what God has called us to do. You do not want to go without his Spirit. When he sent the disciples, before he sent them, what did he tell them to do? Go into the upper room, and he says, tarry there until you're endowed with power from on high. I'm sending you out, but I'm not sending you out without you being equipped. Say it with me, I've been equipped. Jesus was equipped by God. He says the Spirit of the Lord, not just any spirit, but God's Spirit is upon me. How do I know? He said, and why? Because God has anointed me. I'm not going in my own strength, but I have the anointing of God himself to preach good tidings or the gospel message, the good news to the poor. I underlined he in my Bible. Why? Because Jesus oftentimes said, I'm not coming on my own. I am not speaking on my own behalf, but I'm doing this based upon what he has sent me to do. And how many of you all know that you'd be in a whole lot less trouble if you only did what God told you to do? Well, I can get a better amen than that. Some of y'all been in some deep trouble. I won't say the other word. Because you haven't done what God's called you to do. All over the scripture it says it's all about God, his purpose, his plan, his provision, his presence in your life, in your situations. Therefore, if you do what he says do, you've got his backing. Are you with me today? Thank you, Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ, again, was born on purpose for a purpose. And so were you. Look at the neighbor and say, so are you. You know, we need to hear that on occasions. Can I get a good amen in this house? Amen. You need to hear that. You need to hear that. Because the situation is look, he says there's people that were poor in spirit. They need to be uplifted. There were other individuals that were brokenhearted and they needed to be healed. How many of you know there's people that are still brokenhearted and they need a healing ministry to come to them? Individuals that are captives, they're captives sometimes to their own selves, sometimes to their past, and they need someone to come to them. We are the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Those that are in prisons that are in bounds, but Jesus came to them as well. And let me just give you one other point is that, you know, you're living this life, but I want you to know that life is not by accident. And some of us live life like it's just, whatever happens, happens. De sera, sera. I might have it right. If it happens, it happens. Whatever will be, will be. But I want you to know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, just like he did Jesus. And I know some of them think, well, that's awful lofty to say like Jesus. Oh, no, without a doubt, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were even born, I sanctified you. Sanctified means I set you apart. You weren't supposed to go out and do all the other stuff. I set you apart from the world unto myself for my purpose. Church is also to be set apart. And that's not a word you hear often, the word sanctified, because people say, well, I can be saved and do whatever I want to. But it's a good thing to set yourself apart from the world unto God for his purpose, because you will bypass a whole lot of foolishness. Can I get an amen in that can relate to that one more time? That's three or four people, Petty Patton. Thank you, three or four people. Hallelujah. Appreciate you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And people are afraid of that word, but you shouldn't be. No, it means that you were called, set aside from the world unto God for his purpose. And it's a good thing. Jeremiah, before you even came on the scene, I had a plan for you, boy. I ordained you a prophet to not just one person, but to the nations. You know, I like what Albert Einstein says, and some people say, well, just everything is just an accident. He says, God doesn't play dice. He doesn't. He don't have to roll dice. He's God. Let me give you this next point. When I think about that, I think about Jesus Christ was anointed for our good and God's glory. So he wasn't just anointed just to say he was anointed, walk around, I'm anointed, because some people have talents and gifts, and oftentimes they think it's for their own benefit to just stick their chest out and say, wow, I can do this, I can do this. But, you know, Jesus was anointed for our good. Who were the brokenhearted? We were. Who were the ones that were in prison? We were. Who were the ones that had that were poor in spirit? We were. So God anointed him on our behalf. Let me flip this script. God anointed you for somebody's benefit too. God placed anointing upon the church for somebody's benefit. Thank you, Jesus. And I recognize too that there's some things that he's anointed me to do, and it's not because I'm good at it. It's because he's anointed me to do it. Did you all get that? It's not because I'm good at it. It's because God needed to use somebody to touch somebody else. So he placed his hand upon you and says, go, son, I'm anointing you and I'm ordaining you. And therefore, whoever tries to come against you, talk against you, stand against you, try to block you, it won't work. Why? Because I've been anointed. I've been sent by God, not you. So whatever you try to stop, it's not going to work. Can somebody give God praise in this house? Some people act like, well, I don't like him. It don't make no difference. You didn't call me. You didn't choose me. You didn't anoint me. And because God's anointing is upon me, I'm coming out, and I'm coming out in victory, and he's going to get the glory because that's why I was anointed. Somebody give God a shout in this house. I mean, bless him because he's God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. There's a passage in the book of Ezekiel, and some of us don't like turning this particular passage, but they're going to turn. We're going to turn to it for a short while and show you what happens when you step outside of God's anointing and you try to do some stuff that doesn't bless him. So Ezekiel 28 and 14 through 16, they'll probably put it on the screen when they get it. Let me just read it for you. It says, "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you." This is God speaking through one of his prophets. He says, "You are the anointed cherub who covers." In other words, and I just let me let you know who he's talking about in the beginning. He's talking about Lucifer. He's talking about Lucifer. And I know we don't like to talk about Lucifer very much, but he's a real person. And not only was he a real person, he was anointed. The Bible called him, what? Help me out, the what? The anointed. So you can start off anointed and you can get off. Am I doing okay? Are you glad you came? So you can start off anointed. And I've seen this on many occasions. People that were walking in the anointing of God, and you knew that God's hand was upon their life and they had anointing. And then it says, God says, "I established you." And you were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. This is what he's saying. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity or sin was found in you. He's saying that I had a plan for you. I had a purpose for you. But when you get out of purpose, you're going to get off. And a lot of people, they slipping. I'm just being real in the house. You know, we slipping. And even groups of people, you know, they begin to look to this group or that group. And those groups, you know, they won't help you get to where God has called you. You need to get to God. The Bible says that he was the anointed. That means that when he, now let me go here just for a minute. Lucifer was so talented that he could play strings, percussion, He was gifted vocally. And we can go there to scripture and even bear some of that out. But I want you to know that he was so talented. He was, when he opened his mouth, it was worship unto God. And some of us, we forget that he used to be used by God, but got off. It's good to be reminded, right? And then what happens? Well, what happens when we get caught up in ourselves? We get caught up in pride, caught up in arrogance. Can't nobody tell me nothing. I know that. I don't have to listen. And accountable to nobody. Pastor, you can't tell me anything. Mama, you can't tell me anything. No accountability. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's a dangerous place. I'm preaching better than you, amen. But the Bible says that he was the anointed cherub who covers, because God established him, is what scripture said, until he got full of himself. And then here's what happens in the 16th verse. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I, the same one that established you, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, and, O covered cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. I want you to know that it's important to yield yourself to God and do his will and to submit to him. And don't get caught up doing what you are not called to do. Do what God has called you to do and what God has purposed you to do. Somebody give him praise in this house. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. One of my favorite books, and this is not in my notes, but I do want you to grasp it. It's, some of y'all can help me out if anybody knows my favorite one besides the Bible. God's Generals, somebody back there, God's Generals. Why? Because the bottom line, it gives us all these great men of God, Seymour and John G. Lake and A. A. Allen and all these different people, you know, they are there and they show what they did and how they did amazing things for the kingdom. But here's the problem, is that if you don't do what God has called you to do and you begin to do what other people want you to do as opposed to what God has called you to do, or what makes sense? Well, it just only makes sense. This makes financial sense. Tithing doesn't make financial sense if you want to save money. But as I put God first in all of my giving, I always have an abundance. Always have. I've never not had an abundance. Why? Because I remember God first, but it doesn't make sense in the natural. Forgiving people, doing good to people that misuse you and abuse you, it doesn't make sense in the natural. It doesn't. But when you do it, God opens doors, makes ways, and he causes your enemy to be your footstool. Are you with me today? Boy, I'm preaching good today. I'm glad I came. I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You know, you can't, and let me go here and I'm going to move on. You have to be careful about even your own opinion about stuff. You know, since when did God ask you your opinion? This is what his word says, so you do what his word says. Well, I don't see it that way. Satan was the same way. He had an opinion. And you see where he ended up. Boom, left foot of fellowship. The Bible says in the New Testament, I've seen him fall like lightning. My last point, I'm going to bring this thing home. So since we know that we were born for a purpose and Christ was born for a purpose and on purpose. And we recognize too that Christ was anointed for our good. And this is very important that we remember this. God anointed Christ for, it's personalizing my good, for your good and for God's glory. And that's what the scripture says, for my good and that God would get the glory. Told you the story about the woman that last week that, and I, if she's listening, if there's any way she hears this, I wish she would call in and just let us know she's still doing well. But she went through some things and she was a prostitute, had her throat cut, but God saved her life. And she was dancing and giving God praise. But her story was this. It was like, and this happened at Southeast High School when we were doing services there. But her story was this, is God takes ashes and makes ashes beautiful. You mean to tell me you can be dancing and praising God and giving God glory and you went through all this? Yeah, but that was my ashes, but God takes ashes and makes them beautiful. And see, God sent me today, and I had to hear him again on this, because he said that many people that have been holding grudges, many people that have been hanging on to hurts and pains, God wants to heal you. Because if you don't walk in your healing, you're going to be stuck and you'll never move forward. You'll be paralyzed because of what? And please hear me on this. It doesn't mean that they didn't do you wrong and what they did was right. That's not what I'm saying, but you've got to let them go. Because I said, you know, I was thinking to myself, girl, how can you dance and praise God knowing that those guys cut your throat and that they may still be on the loose? He says, I'm not worried about that. God took my life. He took something that was ugly and turned it around, and he took my ashes and made it beautiful. How many of you all have God taken your ashes and made them beautiful? I say, God, I thank you, Lord. So we too can praise God. And I love that passage because it says he gave us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And Gigi, you got a jacket. I won't wear your jacket today, but I was surely going to use an example. Hallelujah. That sure is a pretty colorful jacket, but I can tell right now you don't want me to put it on. you're not volunteering it. But look, check this out. This is a picture, and I pray you can grasp this picture like I can, like I see it. It's a picture of people that were struggling, poor in spirit, brokenhearted, captives, but now they've taken off because of Christ's coming and his anointing that he came in, that they're taking this off because of the anointed one. And now they take off sadness and heaviness, and they got joy down on the inside of them. It's almost like, you know, when sometimes you come into the presence of God and someone is anointed as either preaching or singing, and you came in one way, but you leave a totally different way. Why? Because the anointing, the presence of God is here, and you can't deny it. His presence is thick. And you ever walk in a place and you say, wow, the presence of God is thick in this place. His anointing, it destroys yokes. It lifts burdens. It causes the ones that were in captive to no longer be in captive but have joy down on the inside of us. I thank God for therapists. Thank God for them. But it's nothing like the anointing, because anointings destroy yokes long term. Are you with me today? Not just for a moment, but long term. So can you imagine that working together? I feel a praise coming on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Here's what happens. Thank you, God. T, since Gita won't take off her cloak, give it to me, son. Give me yours. Check this out. I'm thinking about the anointing and how it works. The Bible says that in the book of Samuel, thank you, sir. It won't be the same when you get it back. Marsha gonna say, what happened? In fact, what y'all been praying for? What you been praying for? Let me move on. But here's how the anointing works. You got to grasp this. This is why we have to be an anointed church, and you have to know who you are and walk in the very power and the anointing of God. The Bible says that God was going to raise a king, and the scriptures say that Samuel went to Jesse's house, and when he goes there, he says, you know, bring your sons before me. They bring the sons before them, but Samuel could tell that none of them were the ones that he was supposed to anoint. But he says, is there another? And it's not based upon size, muscles, color, how well you can speak. So let me just throw all that out the window. That's why I thought I couldn't be used, even in the young part of ministry. I don't have those things. You know, even though I was between 5'6 and 6'5, you know, between that. Some of y'all said, yeah, you'll get it later. Just whoosh. But none of that counts when it comes to the anointing. He says, is there another one? Well, there is one in the pasture. He's tending sheep. Well, he comes in, and then he looks at him, and right away, the prophet can tell that that's him. He says, come here. Can I let you know, folks, that when you see the anointed one or the one that's anointed for the job that God is, it makes a difference. And he said, come, I'm paraphrasing now, come here, boy, you the one. And began to pour the oil, and the oil flowed. And it was something about David that he was different from that day forward. Do you know that that day he didn't go into the kingdom per se? He didn't become king that day. But after he was anointed, he went back. He went back and tending sheep. Can I let you know, some of you say, well, I think I've been anointed, but perhaps it's not your time. You're the king, but you're still right now tending sheep. You might be cleaning toilets, but you're still the anointed one. You might be taking out trash, but God has still called you. You might be broke, but God has still called you. You know that God's day, your day is coming one day. Can I just preach this thing? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And then one day David was playing, and I think of the anointing and even operating in our lives now, and Saul was, he was troubled by evil spirits and said, call for David. In fact, call for the boy that plays the instrument. And David began to play. And he had, you know, Saul the king, he could call anybody to entertain him. He didn't want entertainment. How many of y'all know we don't need entertainment today? We need someone with an anointing. Destroy yokes and lift burdens. I'm preaching today. I'm telling you, somebody give him a real good shout in this house. We don't need entertainment. We need someone with anointing that can destroy some of these yokes, even in the White House, in our communities, on the job, in our schools. We need an anointing in this house. Thank you, Jesus. And as he played, the Bible says that evil spirits left Saul. I told you I'm on my last point. He said, Pastor, you've been on your last point for the last 5 minutes. Can I let you know that we can praise God with joy because the season of the Lord's favor is upon us now? You said, Pastor, what does that look like? I say this illustration. I've been waiting on it. Some people can walk around this amazing joy because they recognize that this is the season of the Lord's favor. Say, this is the season of the Lord's favor. This is Luke 4:19. It says, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And this was prophesied, and Jesus says it's fulfilled in your hearing today. That was 2,000 years ago. And that hasn't changed. That means that we're living, and hear me, we're living in the season of the Lord's favor upon us. Say to me, I'm living in the season of the Lord's favor upon me. Do you all believe that? That's the grace of God. That's what Jesus came to do. Thank you, Jesus. So I like this passage. Just this illustration just came. And musicians can come. Thank you, Marlon. You're already there. Appreciate you, man. You're anointed, too. Just want to let you know you are. You got anointed hands, not only to play the keyboard, but you've got anointed hands to doctor and cut on people, too. pull out what needs to be put out, pulled out, put back in. He's going to be, he's a physician, folks, for y'all that don't know. He's anointed for that, no doubt. So check this out. A few weeks ago, I was going to give Jeetza a practical gift, just because. Well, actually because she'd been asking me for some time. Be truthful about it. And she wanted a remote starter for her vehicle. And, we've had the car for some years. So this is winter season's about to take place. And so I called the mechanic, said, find the appropriate remote starter and install it. Well, a few days later, he told me, did some research, and he says, I want you to read this. And if this applies to your vehicle, you're in good shape. So I read it, and it said, hit this button twice and hit this other button once. And he says, if your vehicle has this on, because it was installed on these vehicles from this year to this year, you've had it on there all the time. I hit the button twice, hit the other button once, and he said, I said, what? Now, check this out. She looked at me and she said, how come Paul didn't tell me this? How come I didn't know this? She looked at me. I'm like, sometimes you have to read the owner's manual to know what's already on your stuff. Sometimes you have to recognize that you're fighting the devil that's already defeated. He's already under our feet. You better put on the garment of praise, because the battle is won and you have the victory. Somebody give God praise in this house. It's already done. You walk in victory. You walk in authority. You walk in power. You're not trying to make it happen. It's already done. Somebody give God praise. Put on the garment of praise, because he did it for us. Give him a real shout in the house.